want to talk tonight about something that's really close to my heart. This is something that I grew up in Amazing Grace. I've been here pretty much the majority of my life, minus 4 or 5 years. So I know church when it comes to AGF. I know church. And for me, I just want to talk tonight about the house of God. Just a little bit about the house of God. I want to talk, I'm going to go into a little bit further than that in just building the house of God. I believe it's important for us to recognize that we are builders of the house of God. That those of us who are in this room, and specifically on a Wednesday night, I choose, you know, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, because I feel like this is the core group, that if we get this, then we're going to be able to grow leaps and bounds in multiple directions, right? Spiritually, physically, mentally, as a body, we're going to be growing. But I believe that the house of God is close to God's heart. You guys believe that? So when I say the house of God, I'm obviously using that term, and that term is an Old Testament term mostly, right? So New Testament, we're considered the house of God. He's come to dwell in the hearts of man. But I'm going to use some old scriptures, they are old, but Old Testament scriptures, just to kind of share a couple points here with you guys, and then I'll get into a couple other things. But 1 Chronicles 22:5-7 says, "Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to build for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the countries." I'm going to stop there for 1 second. I read that the other day, and I thought, that's amazing right there. Let me read those just 4 words or 3 words or whatever it is. Exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all of the countries. That's what the house of God should be like. The house of God should be famous. The house of God should be something that when people see it, they're excited about it, right? Sometimes when we think of when the world, I'll say it that way, thinks of the house of God, they think of coming together and our hands are crossed and we're, you know, we're all solemn in everything that we do. I believe the house of God should be fun. The house of God should be a place where we come together to celebrate. To celebrate the goodness of what God's done in us. If you can't celebrate what God's done in your life, man, we need to get a little bit more on fire, right? Because God's done amazing things for every single person in this room. God has done phenomenal things. So the church, if you will, us, I'm not talking about just this house here, not just this room, just this building, but the house of God, a place that we come to worship, should be exciting. Amen. It should be a place that when we come here, man, we are just excited to be here. We're excited to come into this place. And I believe looking at your faces, everyone's shaking their head, yes. And I believe that you guys, the core people, believe this. You believe that's why you're here on a Wednesday night, halfway through the week. Rough stuff's happening. Stuff's happening in your life. But you're here at Amazing Grace Fellowship because you do believe this. The house of God's important. Amen. So it says, "I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparation before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord." So I just want to, we're talking Old Testament here, and I'm going to bring in some New Testament as well. But I just want to talk to us as a church. Is it in our heart? Is it part of who we are to build the house of God? And I think it's a good question to ask. This is something that we went to a conference this last week, and speaker after speaker after speaker talked about reaching people and reaching the lost. And just since the beginning of the year, there really is just something stirring up on the inside of me that God's dealing with me about some of this stuff. And so these are just things that I'm sharing with you from my own heart that I just think as a church and as individuals, we need to change our focus a little bit. We need to change where we're looking. What are we looking at? Is our focus all on us, right? Is our focus all on just building us and encouraging us? That's good. We have to be built and encouraged ourselves in order to be able to do anything and succeed anywhere, right? So that's important. So I'm not trying to jump to one conclusion over the other or one ditch over the other, but I think it's important that we recognize where's our focus. Pastor Lynn spoke just a few weeks ago as well about worship. And when we come into the house of God, we're prepared to worship God. That it's not about us. It's not about what we're going to receive out of this, but it's about what can we bring to God, right? And so changing our focus a little bit about from ourselves, from our selfishness, from the things that we're doing to God, what do you want to see, right? So I believe that we need to live our lives with a heart for the house of God. We need to live our lives with a heart that says, I want to be here, right? And I'm going to go further and I'm going to expand on a couple things as well. But 1 Kings 8, 17 through 18 says, "Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel." Again, I know we're looking at Old Testament here and we're not talking about the temple necessarily, but bear with me. "But the Lord said to my father David, where it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart." So God says, I believe this, still to this day, he hasn't changed, that when we want to build the house of God, it's a good thing. When we want to build the house of God, God says, that's awesome. Way to go, that's in your heart, that you want to do that, right? So now as we kind of move a little bit further here, 1 Kings 9, 3 through 4 says, "And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built in my name, therefore forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." There you go. "Now if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments." So the Message Bible says, "My eyes are on it and my heart is in it always." In that scripture. So I'm just throwing it out to us here that lots of times, I get it, we're a New Testament church, okay? But you know what? God never changed. God never changed. And I think it's important that as the body of Christ, that we recognize that the church is important, that the house of God is important. Now, you're the house of God as individuals, because God lives on the inside of you. But man, I want us also to change our focus to recognize that it's more than just you. That it's more than just me, okay? I'm going to be bold tonight. I'm actually going to say that you're not the church, okay? I'm going to say that we're the church. That if it's just about you or if it's just about me, we're missing the entire point. If I just say, I can say all I want, I'm the church, so I'm going to have my own little Bible study with God, man, we're missing it. Because God told us to build the church, right? To build the house of God. And it's more than just inside of us, but it's all of us together. So we should be getting excited about the church, right? It's not just about an organization as well. That's where sometimes the world looks at an organization and just says, man, it's all about the money, or it's all about the business, or it's all about whatever. And the whole heart is missed in it. And I think it's because where our eyes are, where our focus is, what is it that we're doing? What's the purpose and the direction that we're going? And I think Amazing Grace does a great job in a lot of these areas. I really do. But just as the church, we need to be reminded about this stuff. What's our purpose? What's our focus? What are we doing as the church, as the body of Christ, right? It's not just this club that we're a part of. That's a lot of fun that we get to come together and celebrate and have a good time with one another. What's our purpose as the church, right? Cool. I like it. So this is a Brian Houston line that I had seen a long, long time ago, and I just never forgot it. But he says, Do you want the eyes of the Lord to line up with your vision? And I think that's a cool thing to think about. Do you want the eyes of the Lord to line up with your vision? Because we've all got a vision. We've all got things that we want to do, right? We've all got places that we want to go, things that we want to accomplish. And we cry out to God, God, help me. I want your will. I want your plan. I want your stuff. But man, we're very focused on our stuff. So I believe that if you want to line up your vision with God's vision and God's vision with your vision, we have to have the heart of building the house of God. Okay? We have to have the heart of building the house of God. Christianity is not just this self-centered, me, myself, and I, and what I'm going to accomplish, but it really is about building the house of God. We see that throughout Scripture when Jesus talks about what's our purpose. What is it that we're supposed to be doing? Well, he breaks it down pretty simply. We love him and we love each other. We love him and we love people, right? You can't get simpler than how Jesus broke it down. And I think so many times we as a church, and it's fun to come together. It's exciting to come together and just celebrate with each other. But it's more than that. And it's got to be more than that. As the church, if it literally is this Wednesday night crew every single Wednesday night, and we just stay this way, we're not going to be accomplishing the will of God on this earth. Why is that? Because his will is for this church to be filled. His will is for the church down the street to be filled. His will is for all of the churches in our community to be filled and just busting out of the seams with people coming to know him. And I think that's so important that we get that stirred up on the inside of us, because I love church. and I grew up here, and I can just come here all the time, and I can just have fun with my people and my family and just have a good time, right? But it's got to be more than that. We've got to build, we've got to bust out of our walls and our stuff and the things that we're focusing on. And we've got to recognize, what does God want to see happen? Amen? Amen. We all together are the church. And I'm going to say it this way because I think every person in this room on a Wednesday night, we're all leaders. We're all people in this room that I believe most of us are serving somewhere or doing something, or we're involved in our community, we're involved in our church, we're doing something. So we're leaders. And I think it starts with us. It starts with every individual in this room. We can't just stand here and say, hey, you need to be going out, and we're not going out, right? So I'm talking to myself here as well in all of this, that we got to grow in this thing, and that we've got to, as leaders, have a different outlook. We got to change our outlook. Got to change our viewpoint on some things. Amen? The house of God, I believe, should be the coolest place on earth, right? It should be a place that when people from the outside look in and go, wow, that's cool. I want to be a part of that. I want to have fun with that. And where does that come from? Does that just start by a lot of churches out there are using lights and fog and all of this cool stuff to just make it exciting and inviting? I'm not going to really talk against that, and I'm not going to talk for that. I'm not going to go either direction of that. But on the inside of my heart, really, what is it that makes church exciting? What is it that makes church something that people want? And ultimately, it's their need for God. It's their need to fulfill that love that's missing in their life. It's that need to fulfill that hole that's in their heart, right? So for us, man, we can do all the things in the world to make our church, if you will, which we're not this way, so you all know our church, but to make it this super seeker-friendly that when you come in, you're in just this crazy atmosphere that we're just going to make it all perfect for you, everything that you want to see. Am I right? You know what I mean by that? Do I need to clarify? I think I'm good to go, right? When we as a church love, people will be drawn. When we as a church, as a community of believers, love on people and show people that we care, guess what? They begin to care. And so for us, I believe that our heart has to, no matter what, if we've got the lights and we've got the stuff and you've got whatever it is that you want to talk about, right? Our heart has to be in a spot that says, we're going to love people. We're going to reach people because that's what's right. We're going to seek after people because there's people that are hurting. There's people in this world that are just hurting all over the place and need the love of God. And I look at us in our cozy environment, and it's good. Again, it's good, and I love it, and it's a cozy environment that's good. I want to show other people, come on into our cozy environment. Come on into our loving home. We want you here. We want to help you. We want to heal you. We want to bring wholeness to your life. But so many times as believers, we can get very easily stuck in just this process that, man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm living the dream. Everything's good in my little world. And as long as we look that way, we're going to continue to live in our little world, which is outside of God's little world, big world, if you want to say it that way. Because God's world is inclusive. God's world is pulling people in. God's world is saying, I love you. I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And he wants every person to be in his house. Amen? So some of the stuff that, you know, for me, I believe that the church should be a place where people want to be. My kids love coming to church. My kids absolutely love coming to church. My kids are over there in kids ministry tonight. Last week, we were out of town, and they stayed with my sister-in-law, and they begged my sister-in-law to bring him to church on Wednesday night. And she did, and it's so cool. And we're praying for her salvation. And so in that, it's a cool thing that my kids just desire to be in church. And she came to pick him up, and she was a little bit early, and my kid pitched a fit, which is not okay. It's not okay that happened, but man, he was not okay that he had to leave church early. And that's the atmosphere that we really should raise our children up in, raise our people in, that man, this is where we want to be. My daughter, when we get ready to leave the house anytime, and this has happened for a good year now, her response is, we going to church, we going shopping. Those are the two things that she's getting excited about. Are we going to go to church? I don't know where the shopping thing came from. maybe over here, but she gets excited about those two things. And I think that's the way it should be. We should create an atmosphere that says, man, church is fun. Let's go to the house of God because this is where we love to be. This is where we're excited to be. But then let's not just hold that excitement in. Let's share that excitement. Let's go and show other people how much fun we have. Let's go show other people the joy and the freedom that we have in Christ because they're looking for it all over the place. They're looking in every single avenue to be able to receive that freedom, right? But we are the ones who have it. Now, let's not be selfish in that. Does that kind of make sense to everyone? I think it does. When people have the heart for the house of God, their heart is moved. Let me try to explain myself on that. Jesus, when he walked up, and there's this portion of scripture that says that he walks up on the hill and he looks out and he sees this multitude of people dying, lost, and he was moved with compassion. So I ask us, what moves us with compassion? And I think that's important that's just something that we have to stir up. Because ultimately, as human beings, our natural reaction, our natural flesh is about us. Something that's going to bring me coolness, me fun, me joy, me excitement. That's what I like, right? But what moves us with compassion? And if we look at our life and we're moved by compassion, by all of these things that bring us joy and bring us happiness and all that kind of stuff, I think we need to recheck ourselves. We need to look at our checklist and say, what really excites me and moves me? And Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, he says that he prays this prayer over the church of Ephesians. And this is a prayer that I pray over my family and pray over individuals all the time, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened. I think that's huge. We sing that old song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Let's pray that prayer, that we would be able to open, that our eyes would be open to see the way that God sees. Because until we can see the way that God sees, be able to come up over that mountain and look out over the crowds of people and just not get annoyed, you know what I'm saying? Just not get annoyed because there's all of these people that are frustrating. I get it, right? Because we're selfish and that's how it just works naturally. But to be able to look out into a crowd of people and be moved with compassion, moved with the eyes of God. Jesus says in John 4:35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then... And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest. Now, it's pretty fun. This scripture last week at our conference, there was one morning and an afternoon time where there was like four or five speakers throughout this day that used this one scripture. And it's the story of the lady at the well. She's gathering water and Jesus comes up and begins to just minister to her. Such a cool story. And none of these pastors talked to each other. It wasn't planned. They didn't say, hey, this is what the topic's going to be, and you're going to do this kind of a thing. But they all went this direction. And this is just stuff that's been really just stirring on the inside of me as well. And so it's so cool to see that God's doing something. God's doing something in the church. He's stirring up the hearts of believers outside of us and moving somewhere else and doing something great. And so I'll just say it this way. I'm going to steal a few points from this last week. I hope that's okay. And I will not plagiarize. I'll try to say, like, this is what so-and-so said. But I do think this is some stuff that God's really just wanting us to hear, things that God wants us to know. Jesus, in this scripture, is saying, open your eyes. What are you looking at, right? One of the speakers, and I guess I am going to plagiarize for a second because I can't remember exactly which one it was. But he basically said that the story goes like this, that the lady is so moved by Jesus and so moved by the compassion that he has that she goes and tells all of her friends and comes, brings them back to see Jesus. And the disciples start to get frustrated because they haven't eaten anything. And they're like, Jesus, hey, it's food time. Come on, like, I want to eat. And Jesus literally looks at them and says, what are you talking about? These people are coming because they want me. They need me, and I want to pour my love out on them, and all you can talk about is food right now. And it really is. It's a great way to bring in the perspective that for us as Christians, what are we looking at? What are we focused on? We can be focused on things that at the time I might feel hungry. I might feel like this is what I really need right now. I need to eat, and I'm getting hangry because I haven't eaten anything, right? We can be focusing on those things, or we can recognize Jesus is telling us, open your eyes. Look at what I'm looking at. And that's what Paul is literally saying. Open the eyes of our heart that we can see the way that you see, God. I want to see with your compassion. I want to see with your love. I want to see with your eyes the things that you have for our life, the things that you have for us as a church. And Paul's praying that over the church of Ephesus and saying, I want you to be able to see what God sees. And Jesus is saying that. Open your eyes. Look at what I'm looking at. It doesn't matter but that you're hungry. Look at these people who are hungry for things that you can't give them, that only I can give them. So let's open our eyes, amen? Let's see what is it that God wants us to see, amen? So Chris Hodges was one of the speakers at the conference that we went to. He's a pastor of a church in Alabama. Phenomenal stuff. So I'm going to take a couple of his points tonight, and I'm just going to kind of key in on a couple of things. And so hopefully that's not plagiarism, because I really do feel like it's from God anyway, and he stole it from God. So I'm just going to steal it from God and him all at the same time. But he talked about nearsightedness, and he talked about how if all we can see is what's right in front of us, we're not going to be very effective. And I believe that as the church, we've done that way too many times. That we're so focused on us, we're so focused on me, we're so focused on what is it that I can accomplish and what is it that I can do and what is it in my sphere right here. And I believe that God really is saying, let's open our eyes. There's a lot that he wants you to be doing. There's a lot of stuff that he has for your life individually. And that if we can open our eyes and be able to see a little bit further than our life, our stuff, the things that we're doing, and recognize that it's about the body of Christ. That I'm not the church, and I know that's a bold thing to say, but I'm going to continue to say it. I'm not the church. We're the church. And if I'm just trying to do things all on my own, I'm going to be very ineffective. That we as the body of Christ, Scripture talks about how that it takes every single joint. Every person doing their part is part of our even vision statement. Every joint supplies, right? That's when God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But if I'm just off trying to do my own little thing and I'm an eyeball rolling around on the ground, not going to work very well, right? I need to be involved in a head and I need to be involved with a brain. And I need to, it's so goofy, I know, but I love the picture that it shows me. I've got to be a part of something bigger than me, right? And that's where the body of Christ comes into play. We have been called to build the kingdom of God, to build the body of Christ. Let's not do it on our own. Let's not get into this goofy stuff about just going off and doing our own thing up on the mountaintop, okay? Doing our own thing in our own little Bible study and calling it church, right? God wants us to come together and recognize it's so much more than that. It's so much bigger than just me. So much bigger than just my little plan of what I have to see, right? Cool. If God, this is one that just blew me away. This is a statement that Chris Hodges made this last week. And I walked away just going, wow, what a cool deal. And maybe this won't blow you away as much as it will me, but he said, if God answered all of your prayers today, would it change you or would it change the world? Isn't that powerful? That'll hurt if you listen to it real closely. If God answered all of your prayers today, will it change you or will it change the world? That's good stuff. I'll steal that all day long, and I'll use that one as my own. Because let's be honest when it comes to that man, again, we can just be very selfish. And I'm not trying to just paint a picture that we're all bad. But ultimately, our flesh, that's the stuff we've got to get out of. That's the stuff we've got to get away from, because it's not about me, and it's not about my stuff. It's about his stuff. And Pastor Lynn talked about that when we come into the house of God, it's about what does he want to accomplish? What does he want to see happen? And for us, we've got to rip away this stuff that says it's about me and my stuff and the things that I'm doing. And we should be praying for people, right? We should be praying for the lost. That one hit me hard. If I'm even just praying with my kids at night, and we pray every single night, we come together and we hang out and we pray for a little bit before they go to bed. And just this last few nights, it's been hitting me. Like the prayers that I'm praying, wow, I'm pretty selfish. I'm a pretty selfish prayer, right? And I pray for people, but man, I hear what I'm teaching my kids, and I've got to get better at that. I got to teach my kids to pray for people and to love on people, and that the focus isn't what God's going to do for us, but the focus is how, if it is about us, it's what how he can use us to do what he wants to do. Amen? So we need to recognize these things in our lives, that how am I, what part do I have to play, if we're going to say I, what part do I play in his plan? Not what part do I play in my stuff, but what part do I play in his plan? And as the body of Christ, that's a big, big deal, right? So I'm going to give you 4 points tonight. Not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to plagiarize just a little bit. And I don't think it's plagiarizing if you say where it comes from, so I'm just probably going to stop saying that. Maybe I'll just say it's me. Yeah, you have the right to copy anything I say because it's already copyright, right? That's awesome. T.L. Osborne, the man. That's cool. Cool. So I'm just going to talk from my heart tonight instead of Chris Harge's heart. There you go. So I'm going to give us 4 things today, 4 thoughts, and 3 of them are not mine. And 1 of them I'll just call my own. So, but how to reach the lost. And I'm going to expand a little bit on some of the stuff that he said. But 1, we have to accept responsibility. We have to accept responsibility that it's our job. Have you ever known people that they're in a position at a job, I know in different work settings or whatever, that it's never their job. It's never their responsibility. It's always someone else's. And stuff doesn't get done. It's like, all right, so whose job was that? Well, it wasn't my job, right? Man, this is our job. I'm here to tell you today, your job is to reach the lost. Your job is to build the kingdom of God. Your job is to build this house, if you will. That's your job. And we have to accept that responsibility. We're all ministers of reconciliation. And until we come to the spot that it's my job, it's always going to be someone else's job. And I believe that God has created every individual. You won't come to Amazing Grace for very long without hearing this type of a statement. You have a job. Every person in this room has a job that God has made you for. And I believe that 100%. One of the things Chris Hodges says that I thought was so cool is, you are God's plan, and there isn't a plan B. That's huge. Because if we keep on thinking, now someone else is going to do it, guess what? God created you to accomplish his will on this earth. And until we come to a spot that says, it's my responsibility, it's my job, this is what I'm called to do, no one else is going to do it. It's your job. It's my job to accomplish what God has for my life to reach people. Amen. Until we come to that spot, we're going to miss it every time. Amen. So it's not like on a job description. You've got that little thing at the bottom that says, and other duties as notified or other duties as needed or whatever. This is the main job description. This is our job. This isn't just, well, if someone else asks me to do it. He's already asked you to do it. Jesus already said go. So let's go. It's our job, right? Okay. Human nature wants to say it's not my job. Human nature wants to blame it on someone else. Human nature wants to say I'm too tired, I'm too whatever. But ultimately, that's our human nature that we got to get rid of. So let's accept responsibility and let's go from there. Cool. 2, this is a Chris Hodge deal. Develop a personal relationship. One of the things he said is people don't care what you know. They want to know you care. So there's a lot of people that I talk with on a regular basis, Christians, that say, well, I just don't know enough. I don't know enough to reach people. I don't know enough to reach the lost. People don't care what you know. I love that statement. They want to know that you care. And that really is what it's all about. That's what Jesus talked about when it came to his love and loving people, right? It's not about what we're doing. It's about his love anyway. So we've already accepted his love, and now we give his love. It's not how much I can love someone because I'm going to fail every time at loving, right? But if I accept his love and I receive his love, I can give that all day long because he's got plenty of that to come, right? So we use his love, we receive his love, and we give his love. And guess what? It's going to be awesome. But it really does come down to relationship. People don't care what you know, and you can be a scholar and still be not accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. So I'll leave it at that. You don't have to know a lot. You have to love a lot is another thing that he said. That's what it's all about. If we can show people the love of God, that's what they need. They don't need to know where they're wrong. They don't need to know where they fail. They don't need to know what's going on. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know that God cares. They need to know that you care. And when we can build a relationship with people, your sphere of influences will be impacted. I just say this, that there's a lot of people in the Magic Valley that Pastor Lynn, as much as he wants to, will never be able to reach. But you can. Every individual in this room has a sphere of influence and has the ability to reach people that I can never touch, that I can never reach. And so our responsibility is to accept responsibility that that's my responsibility, right? That's a lot of responsibility, but that's my job. And you don't have to have a biblical degree to go get it done, right? It's about loving people. And we can all do that. So Pastor Lynn, I'm just going to dovetail on his stuff for just a second here as well. He made the commitment. If you invite people to Sunday, he's going to bring a word. If you invite people to Easter, he's going to do what you can't do. You might say, well, I don't know anything. Cool. Let's grow in that. You can grow in knowing some stuff. But again, your job as the body of Christ is to be ministers of reconciliation, is to be ministers of showing the forgiveness of God and the love of God to other people. And every single one of us can do that. How many of you were lost at one time in this room? That's every one of us, right? So guess what? We've all received forgiveness and we've all received the love of God in our life, and we can all give that to someone, right? So for us, our job is simple, if you will, in just showing that, revealing that, showing that I love you enough to not let you go to hell. And we don't have to be even goofy or super spiritual about it, because we can get goofy and we can shout from the mountaintops and people can look at us and go, you're weird, right? But for us, loving people is not weird. Everyone wants to be loved. I don't know anyone that doesn't want to be loved. Everyone wants love. And we can do that, amen? So Pastor Lynn, Ms. Durrett mentioned as well that 87%, 86%, something like that, right around there was this new stat that if you invite someone to church on Easter Sunday, 87% of the time, they're going to say yes. Isn't that cool? Now, let's not go invite our friends that are already going to church somewhere, because again, that's not the point. And I'm tired of just transferred growth from church to church to church. That's not what it's about, right? I met with the pastor, with a worship pastor from a church in town earlier this morning. Just had a great time just chatting and talking with each other. And both of us just kept on going on about how we're just tired of just sending people over from one church to another and going from other places to another. And let's grow the kingdom of God. Hey, man, that's exciting. Let's grow the kingdom of God. And I say that if every person in this room brought someone to church, Pastor Lynn has said he's going to do what maybe you can't do. And he's going to commit to bringing the word of God in such a way that is going to change people's lives. And so let's do our part. Let's invite people. Right? But the key is relationship. If we don't develop relationship, we're just going to be that weird person that comes outside of the walls of church with our sign that says, I'm a Christian, come to church. No one responds to that, right? That's just, it's goofy. The standing on the street corner on your little box and shouting Jesus's name and telling people they're going to hell just doesn't work, right? Relationship works. Loving on people works. Helping people works. Jesus said it himself. We go and we help. We show them. And Matthew chapter 5 says that we are the salt of the earth, right? If the salt loses flavor, what are we good for? Nothing, right? We're the light of the world. If you hide us under a bushel, which is exactly what a lot of Christians do, we just hide inside the church walls and we act like we're being the world. And we're like, hey, come to us. Come over here. We want you over here. And Jesus says what? Go. You go. Don't just sit here and wait for other people to come to us. And so part of our job is that we go out and we bring people. We go out and we help people. And if you don't have the knowledge or you don't have whatever it is on the inside for you to say, here's how you come to know Christ or here's whatever, man, lean on some other people who are in this room right now who can help you in that as the body of Christ, because it's not about you. It's about all of us working together. And there's people in this room that can help in all of those different avenues. Amen? That's exciting. Super cool. As the church, our responsibility is to reach out, to love, to care, to show the love of Jesus. Number three, I'm going to be done really quickly here. Live intentionally. This is mine, okay? I'm going to not give this one to Chris Hodges at all. Just playing. This is something that, what's that? Brilliant, brilliant, absolutely brilliant, yeah. This one's number one in all of them. I'm totally joking. This is something that I believe God's been working in my heart on. That I have to live intentionally. I have to live in such a way that's on purpose. That as a leader, if I want people to grow, man, I've got to intentionally help them to grow. I can't just expect people to grow and then be like, what happened? Well, it's your fault, my fault, because I'm not being intentional about something. And so for us, we have to live intentionally when it comes to reaching the lost. live intentionally about building the church, about building the house of God. We have to be intentional about it because it's not just going to happen. We're not just going to walk along, and we've all heard the stories of the pastors who walk in the airports and people fall out in the Holy Spirit and come to know Christ. That's not normal, right? That's not normal. What works and what Jesus talks about is living intentionally and going and preaching the gospel of Christ. So we have to do something, and we have to do it on purpose, and we have to do it with an on purpose, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this, right? You'll not surround yourself with people who need to hear about Jesus unless you're intentional about it. It's too easy for us as the church to just get comfortable with each other and to just hang out and have the fun club that we're in. But we have to on purpose say, I'm going to go. I'm going to step out. I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to find people who need Jesus. I'm going to on purpose find people who need Jesus, right? And as the church, that can be a tough one because we want to be protected and we want to hide ourselves under the covering and all those kinds of things. But man, unless if we're going, nothing's going to happen. And the church is going to stay the same and nothing's going to happen, right? Let's be intentional about it on purpose. Number four, last one. I'm going to piggyback with Pastor Lynn on this just a little bit as well, is give a personal invitation. That's part of the intentional, right? Give a personal invitation. People want to hear it from your lips. We can live in such a way, and I've said this multiple times, that if you live in such a way that is godly, people will recognize it on you and they'll want that. And I believe that, but I think we've gone too far that direction sometimes and just acted like if I just live a certain way, then people are going to flock to me. No, we got to be intentional about showing God. We've got to be intentional about loving on people. We've got to be intentional about giving an invitation that says, hey, I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I want to love on you, right? People are not just going to normally come to you. You got to go to them. And so give an invitation. I'll just jump onto that 87% again. Invite someone to come this Easter. Amen? Is that a scary deal? I think to a lot of people it might be, and that's okay. But I just encourage everyone in this room, let's get past some of those things and let's invite someone. We all have friends in this room and people that we know that don't know God and are dying and going to hell. And it's awful. And so for us, let's get past some of those fears. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. What is that talking about? If we read that scripture, it's talking about going into the world and reaching people. Read that. Go read that scripture. It's not talking necessarily about the boogeyman and things like that and not being scared. Okay, we use that with our kids and that's great. But what's it talking about? It's literally talking about getting rid of those fears to go and reach people. So God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can get that on the inside of us and we can go out and we can boldly preach the gospel of Christ to people. And I think it's important. So for us who are learning and growing in those things, man, it might just be as simple as, hey, and we're going to have some things I know in the next couple weeks here as well to give out to people, right? I know we've been talking about that, that you can hand to someone. And you may not even have the words to say, but hey, I'm going to church on Easter. You want to come with me? Hand them the little pamphlet. Hand them the little thing that gives them the times and stuff. But I think it's important that we give that invitation from us, from someone who cares, from someone who loves them, from someone who's in their heart, in their relationship, in their life. Because we can shout it from the rooftop all we want. We can put it on our church sign. We can have it on TV, and we can put it in the newspaper. We can do all those things, but nothing is going to be as powerful as you giving your personal invitation to someone to come to church. So every individual in this room, I just expect us to pack this house, right? I expect us Wednesday night solid crowd people, let's pack this house. I know that's the heart of Pastor Lynn. He is going to be on his A game to bring the word of God to people who need to hear the word of God. And so let's be on our A game and let's bring people, right? Amen. And it's just something that I know it's stirring up on our staff. It's stirring up with Pastor Josh and with Mr. Rhett and with all of us that, man, we've got to, just as individuals, this isn't a game that we're playing, right? This isn't a game that we're playing. We're dealing with people's lives. And I believe we need to go back to that. This is my responsibility. This is what I'm called to do. I'm called to help those who are around me who I can influence. Amen? Cool. Let's pray.